Hello and welcome back to Highly Successful Couples. This is your host, Nick Solacek. And today I want to talk about the couple bubble, a term coined by Dr. Stan Tatkin. Some of you may know him from some of the amazing books that he's written in the relationship space, or as a developer of PACT, which is an acronym for the psychobiological approach to couples therapy. And this concept is something that I've mentioned in the past. It's something that comes up a lot in my work with couples. And it's something that's come up for me and my partner. And what this couple bubble is a mutual protective space. So two people are intentionally creating this space to keep the relationship safe, secure, and prioritized. So you can think of it as an invisible bubble around the two of you. And inside of it, you protect each other from outside threats, distractions, and unnecessary harm. This is an important concept because in life, people are going to have opinions, judgments. They're going to sometimes want to control certain things about our relationship. They're going to tell us what to do or what they think, or maybe be invasive in certain situations and try to meddle with things that maybe aren't their business. So some people are not very good at really, you know, honoring boundaries or considering other people. They can be quite self-absorbed and get involved in things that they don't really have permission or consent to do so. And if you've been around long enough, in dating and relationships, you've seen the way that family systems and friends and in-laws can offer opinions or judgments or different kinds of perspectives on your relationship, your situation, your feelings, what your partner does, what your partner believes, and so on. And when we share with people about our reality, about what's going on for us, maybe some of our frustrations or something that happened that was hurtful, or, you know, our partner said something mean, or they didn't follow through on the thing they said that they were going to do, the people that care about us, you know, friends, family, confidants, and so on, they might want to protect us, right, from hurtful, harmful situations. And then they might want to kind of jump in to caretake or rescue or give advice instead of listening. And there are extreme situations where maybe somebody should jump in to try and rescue us because we can't help ourselves. But what most of us are dealing with is often inconsiderate, invasive, inappropriate kinds of behavior. So this concept of a couple bubble really means a couple things. We put each other first. We protect the relationship. We co-regulate. We share a philosophy and approach to relationships that is about secure functioning, which instead of what that means is instead of me versus you, it's us versus the problem. So I've talked about this a lot before on the show. We turn towards our challenges as a team. We face things together, right? Instead of throwing one person under the bus or saying, you know what, it's got nothing to do with me. This is your thing, right? It's a we thing. So that's a big part of this couple bubble philosophy. And in addition, equally important, we commit to repair. We are committed to repairing effectively with one another. Yes, apologizing and saying sorry, but, you know, really sincerely empathizing with our partner, wanting to make sense of them and what's important to them. And we do this for each other so that conflicts aren't just left hanging, things aren't, you know, swept under the rug and avoided for years. And when we get it wrong, when we hit a speed bump, when we make a mistake, we have a misunderstanding, we prioritize coming back to connection. And we've talked about this a lot on the show, about three cycles of relationship: connection, disconnection, and repair. And early on this the course of this show, I believe it's episode 6 and 7, somewhere in there, I did a two-part series on the importance of repair. Stan Tatkin has emphasized this and taught this a lot. He believes that the couple bubble is an agreement to put the relationship before anything and everyone else. That's a pretty strong statement, but it doesn't mean cutting off the outside world. It doesn't mean not sharing anything with anyone. It's really about creating a secure, reliable connection where both partners can feel like they can count on each other. We can really rely on each other. You've got my back. I've got your back. We are in this together. And there are many ways that you might practice this. You know, checking in with each other before making major decisions, big life commitments, spending a lot of money, maybe having no secret agreements and noticing whether you make covert decisions or arrangements in your mind and learning how to talk about things transparently. As I said, repairing fights quickly. So instead of leaving things unresolved for long periods of time, we prioritize repair. We do it often, we do it quickly, hopefully within a few hours or 24 hours or 48 hours, we're able to come back to that misunderstanding and say, hey, you know, I can see how we misunderstood, we missed each other there. I can see how I said this, and if, you know, if I could do something differently, I think it would have been this, because what you really deserve from me is, and bonus points if you're able to acknowledge, you know, what's triggered or what's come up from you and for you from childhood. We got to agree on boundaries, you know, with friends and family and work, and turn towards each other when triggered, you know, instead of turning or walking away. This is what I mean by pulling hands on the roller coaster of life. So ultimately, this is like a huddle, right? So if you've ever seen a footy game of some kind, I know that term is used interchangeably here around the world, but they've got it in rugby, they've got it in American football, they've got it in various sports where the team comes together in a huddle before the game, in the middle of the game, on a timeout. And it's this secure, private space. We are talking. We are making a plan. We are deciding what to do, right? No one else is privy to this conversation. We are here. And this doesn't mean that we don't have relationships with other people or we don't talk to other people, but it's really about honoring each other, honoring the relationship. And this statement that Stan makes about the couple bubble being in agreement to put the relationship before anything and everyone else, well, in real world application, that can be challenging. For example, what do we do with children who are dependent and need us? And, you know, like an infant who can't communicate in the English language yet and doesn't have the ability to self-regulate. You know, they're highly dependent. Or, you know, a 3 or 4 or 5 year old or a 10-year-old who needs something from us is feeling urgency. And every child is different. Every family system is different. So each set of parents or co-parents need to figure out what this kind of couple bubble might look like. Because in no way do I or Stan or other teachers mean that you should neglect children. What this concept of the couple bubble is trying to say is that the quality of your relationship is actually the foundation of your child's well-being. In other words, if the parents are doing well, chances are the child will be doing well. And to elaborate on this a little bit further, kids thrive when they sense their parents are connected and emotionally safe with each other, that the family and the household is a safe place to be. And when we've got a strong couple bubble, that when we've really got that right, there's more stability and predictability and emotional safety for the child's nervous system, right? They can sense that in their own way. Children are very sensitive and intelligent. So this kind of secure base is a big deal. If we have trouble creating that with our partner, it's highly likely that our own parents had a hard time creating that for us. So this kind of priority that I'm talking about, it doesn't mean hierarchy. It doesn't mean that, you know, your partner is more important than your child. I'm not saying that, you know, you should think that your partner matters more than your own kid, or that you matter more than their own kid. It's really that your partnership, your romantic partnership with the other, with your partner, is the container that can protect the child. And if the couple breaks down, the child loses their secure base. So we need to find a way to honor the reality of this. So, like, practically, a lot of couples and a lot of counselors and experts in this area talk about presenting a united front, backing each other up in front of the kids, or backing each other up in front of other people, even if you disagree privately later. And then, you know, maybe need to discuss or negotiate things or create understanding with each other, find some agreement about the issue at hand, which is usually about how to do things or who's right or wrong. Carving out time for you, couples time, even if it's just short moments, to keep your bond alive so that you actually have the capacity to parent well. Because when we've got that sense of security with our romantic partner, our energy is more free to focus on other things. If our relationship with our partner is stressful and negative and always heavy, then it's just another thing that's sort of taxing us. It's not really lighting us up. And when a child is distressed, you know, can you co-regulate them as a team instead of letting the stress of the moment split you apart, taking things personally, stewing in your frustration and your resentment? So the couple bubble here is really kind of saying, hey, the couple as a unit must come first, not above the child, but as a foundation beneath the child. So the child has this sense of security and stability, this thing to like rely on. And we've probably all seen this on Instagram or seen this in a book or something where, you know, the oxygen masks come down in a plane and there's this conversation around, you know, codependency and taking care of others. And do I put my mask on first or do I put other people's masks on first? And what this sort of concept is trying to convey is that in order to take care of other people, we need to take care of ourselves first. Someone who is, you know, not doing well is going to have a hard time taking care of others. And an emergency situation like the plane, put your mask on first so you're better equipped to be there for other people and support them. You are no good to anyone if you run out of oxygen. So parents need to be regulated and connected to each other first so that they can show up more fully for their kids. So this is the concept of the couple bubble. I am not a trained expert in parenting or childhood development. I only know a little bit. And I do not have children, okay? We have a 1.5-year-old puppy. So I want you to know that while this is high-level generic advice that I believe in and I've seen work for people, you might have your own unique situation. And hanging around my friends who are parents that have young children, 1, 2, 3, 4 years of age, I can tell you, this stuff is very hard to implement all of the time perfectly. So you're not always going to get it right. I think that's just true in life. We're not always going to get everything right. We're going to make mistakes. But when we make mistakes with a child, when we misunderstand our own partner, we still have the ability to repair, the ability to say, hey, I'm sorry that I raised my voice. I'm sorry that I got angry. And that's not how I want to relate to you. Sometimes I get stressed and then I react this way. And you know what? I really want to do that differently because you deserve this from me. Because I love you and I see your value and I really do appreciate you. And sometimes I get worked up, but I want to be close to you. I want to have a good relationship with you. You know, this kind of sentiment, this kind of expression. And most people I talk to didn't receive that from their parents. They've never had that modeled for them. They've never been taught what that's like. So in their adult relationships, they can have a very hard time naturally and spontaneously communicating from that place or being connected to that sort of sentiment and that energy of repair. So if you want to learn more about this, I'd recommend Stan Tatkin's book, We Do, a great book, some great exercises and great concepts in there. You can check it out. For those of you that want to get to work on your relationship this fall, I have a couple things for you. One is that I am still doing first session free. A lot of you have taken me up on that. It's been amazing to meet some of you and get started working with some of you. It's an honor to do what I do, and I appreciate you trusting me and my ability to hold space for you and create some results. So free discovery calls, link is in the show notes. All my links are there. You can go on my calendar, find a time that works. The second thing is that at the end of September, I am running a men's group for 12 weeks. These are 2-hour sessions every week for 12 weeks. A few of you have already signed up. We've got a good group of guys here coming together. I'm going to be running this, co-facilitating this with Ben Goreski from Evolving Man. And Ben and I have tens of thousands of hours of experience running men's groups. We've seen the effectiveness, the usefulness, the power of that. In the last episode that I released, it was a conversation between Ben and I about the Conscious Relationship Council and about men's work. So if you missed that, you can go to the last episode and check it out. Okay, that's what I got for you today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here on this channel. It's really cool to see so many of you coming in to listen to the show. I appreciate you sharing. I appreciate you leaving a 5-star review. Thank you. Thank you for supporting my work and making this a viable endeavor for me. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week.